Heavenly Father, would you bless the words that I speak? Would Jesus Christ be glorified and the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds? In Jesus' name, amen. So on Tuesday last week, I decided to do a 10-mile run as part of my training for the world's largest obstacle course, hopefully still going ahead despite coronavirus. And I got about halfway through and I took a sharp right-hand turn to head back home through the most hilly section, hills being relative to East Yorkshire, of course, on the other side of Hull. And the wind was just straight against me the entire way. It was like running through treacle. And my legs were exhausted and I was tired. And I was thinking on the sermon to preach and the Lord Jesus saying, "Come to me when you're weary and I'll give you rest." And I thought, "Yes, Lord, my legs are weary. Give them rest." He didn't. In the end, I didn't really expect him to be honest, because that's a different kind of tiredness to what Jesus is talking about here. That's the kind of tiredness where you might walk funny like John Wayne for a few days while your hamstrings recover, but ultimately you have a long bath, you have a good sleep, you have a protein shake, and you'll be all right in the long run. But I find that actually we often get home and it's just life itself which is tiring. Far more tiring than that is, and there's no escape from it. We get home and we think, "I need a holiday. I really, really need a holiday." And I don't mean the kind of holiday that I took a few weeks ago, where I shifted 2 tons of gravel and painted a bathroom for my parents and finished a week more tired than I was when I began. I mean a real holiday, where you have rest, relaxation, peace, quiet. I think we all need a holiday, because life itself is just so full of unrest, the opposite of rest. It's filled with anxiety and fear and doubt. Look at this year so far, and we're only just into March. It started off with possible World War III between Iran and America dragging in Russia. Does anyone remember all that on the news? It seems like it was years ago, but it was only a few months. And then we had all of the storms, one after another, weekend by weekend, causing havoc and flooding and damage in our communities. And now we've got coronavirus, which is causing real panic and fear. And let's face it, is going to lead across the world, most likely to millions of people dying, to hundreds of thousands potentially dying in this country. Those are real fears and anxieties. And all of that after an exhausting 4 years of nothing apart from Brexit and elections dominating the papers and our lives. The list just goes on and on. And then you've got your own struggles in your own lives. You've got your struggles and stress at work, in your job, or your own personal family struggles and stresses. My brother says he's exhausted because his wife's pregnant at the moment. And I think, I wonder how she feels. She's still working as well. The baby's due in a month. You've got loneliness. You've got loneliness when people don't have these connections. Or you've got people who expect so much from you in so little time. And then you've got, on top of all of those things, the expectations you place on yourself. And as a perfectionist, this is where I tend to crumble and fall down. We expect so much and we push ourselves so hard to exhaustion and fatigue, and then we lose our temper and we become angry with those whom we love. It's enough to make you just want to scream when you think about life in that way. Life is relentless and it doesn't really satisfy us either. Not truly. We seek and we struggle to be comfortable in life. But there's always a bit more we feel we want to be truly satisfied. A slightly bigger house. That new phone, because yours is 4 years old and has got a cracked screen. If I just had that new phone, somehow life would be better. If I just changed my diet to this new expensive thing, then maybe I'd look nicer in some way and therefore my struggles would end. But it's expensive, or maybe I could afford it. And so we struggle for more money to pay for this comfortable life that we want. Or maybe we end up seeking meaning in our personal beauty or in popularity and being popular with other people. And so we end up trying to impress them and live a lie. And we're the ones who then become depressed and alone. Or we look for personal achievement in our work or in our running races and doing this and winning trophies. And then we age. Or we aren't up with the times and we start to fall and stumble and then we lose our sense of direction. Or maybe we look for our satisfaction and our comfort in family, in a lover, in a husband or a wife, which is a good and godly thing. But even they can break down so easily in the end through broken relationships or the phone call that says you need to come to the hospital. Your tests aren't looking good. You've got cancer. You've got coronavirus. And we don't think you're going to make it. And then that relationship ends and you're left alone. And all your hopes and all your dreams which were built on that now fall flat. And that's when life gets really dark. Life can seem to be nothing but striving and struggling. We all need a holiday from that, and soon, because we can't just keep carrying on with all of these pressures and burdens from society and life. And that's before we get to the fact that we've got the issue of what Christians call sin. All the dark things that we do and say and think, and the good things that the Lord would ask us to do, but we then fail to do. All of which brings us into judgment before a holy God. The actions and thoughts and addictions which hurt other people, that hurt the God who loves us, that ultimately hurt ourselves and then sit heavy on our consciences, weighing us down. I carried so much guilt and shame over how I treated my 97-year-old great aunt. I didn't understand back then how old she was or what that meant, and I wasn't great with her. And for years I carried a burden of shame over my actions. But Christ washed that away. We need a holiday from our sin as well. But as you know, the airlines are closed. At best, you might get halfway, and then they'll say, "I'm sorry, we're going to have to turn this plane back around." And it's then that Jesus says to us, "Come to me. Come to me." And who does he say this to? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, page 977. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Who does he say this to? All of you who are weary and burdened. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, wherever you're going, wherever you're from, no matter if you're old or young, employed or unemployed, you've got a family or you're alone, doesn't matter. Jesus says, "Come. Come to me, all you who labor and are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you refreshment." That's a promise. It's not a "come to me and maybe, if you're lucky, I'll give you rest. Come to me and possibly you'll find rest. Come to me, sign this contract for a package deal and fulfill points 4, 8 and 12 of this contract, and then I'll give you rest for a limited time only." That's not what Jesus says. He simply says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." But who is Jesus that he can make such a promise? That he can guarantee that if we truly come to him, he will give us rest. Verse 27. "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus is the one who is intimately close with Father in heaven. And he's the one who reveals the Father to those whom he chooses. He's the one who reveals the peace and the salvation and the hope in the Father. And he's the one to whom all things have been committed. Not some things, not a small amount of things, but all things have been committed to him. Do you want to go to heaven? Have life everlasting in joy and peace with no sickness and no death? Jesus is the door. Do you want to feel clean? And I don't mean how clean our hands feel at the moment when we've washed them for the thousandth time in a day. I mean really clean on the inside. Jesus is the water of life who washes us clean. Do you want to feel safe in times of worry and anxiety? He is the shepherd who protects the sheep from the wolves and from those who would steal them. Do you want to be healed from your sin? He's the great doctor of our souls. Do you want peace and quiet? He's the prince of peace. Do you just hunger for more of life? You just want life to be lived to the full, life to be lived overflowing, and you hunger for more. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Eat of me, come to me, and you will never be hungry again. He's the Lord of all. He's the only way to God and salvation, and the only way to rest. Jesus says, come to me, anyone, come to me, the Lord of all things, and I will give you rest. We know who he is, we know who he's talking to, but how does he give us this rest? He can give us this rest because 2,000 years ago, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, was born as a human, as one of us. He knew weakness, he knew tiredness, he knew fatigue, he knew stress, he knew exhaustion, all of those things. He knew temptation for sin, but he never sinned. He alone never sinned. And so when he goes to the cross, as we're thinking, looking forward to Easter, and he dies on that cross, he takes our sin, he takes our shame, he takes our darkness, our fears, our anxieties, our guilt, and he says, give them to me and let them die with me. And if you believe in me, in return, I will give you my perfect sinless record, my relationship with the Father, free from shame. I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you joy and happiness and peace if you believe in me. And then 3 days later, after he died with our sin and our shame and our worries, he rose again to life, to promise to us eternal life in the resurrection. The greatest enemy, the greatest fear, death itself, has no sting, has no power over those in Christ. On the cross, we exchange our darkness for his light, for no more fear of death, for no more guilt and shame over sin, and no more anxiety and doubt and exhaustion. Come to Jesus, believe in him as Lord and God and Savior, and he will give you that rest. But what then? You come to Jesus, he gives you a rest. What next? Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We all serve a master. We're all slaves to something or someone. It might be a slave to money and the comfort that it can buy, or a slave to fame and popularity, or a slave to beauty and friendships, or a loved one, or being liked, or achievement. But ultimately, we all serve something and give our life and our energy for them. But as I said earlier, those things, those worldly things, are cruel masters. They'll never satisfy, they'll never give you enough, they'll always leave you wanting more. And just when you think it's enough, it could always just be taken away like that. But Jesus says, no, 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 take my yoke. Freely take my yoke. I won't force it upon you, I want you to take it. And a yoke is like a collar, a symbol of being a servant or being a slave to a master. He says, hand your life over to me. Be mine. Place your life into my hands. Learn from me, for I am good and kind and gentle and loving. I keep my promises, and you will find true rest for your souls. He gives us rest by the cross and resurrection, the promise that it's all finished. And then we find that rest daily by following and giving our lives to him. And we see this in Christians around the world through history. About 1,700 years ago, plague was ravaging the Roman Empire. Nearly a third of people in cities were dying. Not the 3 or 2% of coronavirus, 33% of people were dying. That's scary, really scary. And the pagans, the non-Christians, they were literally throwing their loved ones onto the street so they wouldn't be in the same house as them, so they wouldn't catch it. Or they were leaving their sick loved ones in their houses and they were going away to somewhere where there wasn't plague. And the Christians, who were persecuted by the Roman Empire at that time, they stayed. They didn't run away. They looked at death, they looked at disease, and they said, I'm going to love the people who are left here. Because I don't fear death. I've got resurrection to eternal life. And that was a turning point in the view of millions of people about what Christianity was all about. They knew rest in the resurrection. There's Christians who meet in war zones as the bullets fly, and throughout history, Christians have gone into war zones to administer peace and love to people in need, knowing the dangers, because they had rest in their lives. They weren't anxious about what might happen. Around the world today, Christianity is the single most persecuted faith. In China, if you go to church, you can expect to have your name and your fingerprints on a national register, and if you continue to do so, you may end up in prison or worse. And yet Christians are the ones in Wuhan, other places quarantined, who are doing so much of the medical work and caring for those in isolation. You've got Christians meeting in Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan and Iran and places like that, who meet knowing they could be killed for their faith. And yet they have peace, they have rest, they have joy, so much joy. Those Christians in Uganda who I saw and changed my life, who had nothing but joy and peace and rest. Christians, when they truly believe and live for Jesus, they know what real rest is like and how it transforms our lives. And Jesus, who alone reveals God the Father, today says to you, says to me, come. Come to me, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, all of you, come to me. You're weary, you're tired, you need a holiday. Come to me, and I will give you rest. So maybe this is the first time for you to find rest. Come to Jesus today. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years and life is just so full at the moment that you just lost sight of what he promises to you. You've taken your eyes off him somewhat. He says, come back to me. Take my yoke and you'll find rest for your souls. It's my prayer that all of us would take that to heart and come to Jesus today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us Jesus to reveal the way to you, the way to eternal life, the way to a life of rest and joy and peace, no matter what the world may throw at us, no matter what life may put in our way. Lord, would you help each one of us this day to come to you for the first time or afresh and place our lives in your hands and say, Lord Jesus, I want you. Give me your rest and help me to follow and serve you that I might find rest each and every day. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen.